Order, order.
Ending the week under normal time after a quick burst of urgency, the House began Thursday as usual with question time, and among ministers answering questions on behalf of their colleagues was Tony Ryle.
The Minister of Health and I are advised that...
Tony Ryle, who is the Minister of Health, referring to himself in the third person when answering on behalf of the Minister of the Environment, Nick Smith, some questions from the Green Sue Kesley, claiming widespread disquiet about the erection of cell phone towers without prior consultation with local residents.
And will he therefore urgently review the National Environmental Standard so that telcos are required to consult with local residents before constructing cell phone masts next to people's homes, schools and preschools?
Answering on behalf of the Minister of the Environment, Nick Smith, the Minister of Health, Tony Ryle, said he and the Minister of Health had been advised that the cell phone towers were perfectly safe.
Recent research programs have found no evidence to confirm suggestions that there may be health effects from exposure to levels of radio frequency that are well below those allowed in New Zealand.
In a similar predicament, Finance Minister Bill English had to speak on behalf of Education Minister Anne Tolley in defence of her decision to cut science from the primary school curriculum next year.
In primary schools 2010, professional support will be focused on literacy and numeracy because students need to be able to read, write and do maths in order to be able to achieve in science.
Mr. English continued to answer questions on behalf of the Minister of Education, although this one from her Labour shadow, Trevor Mallard, had more to do with Mr. English's own responsibilities as a minister.
Did she suggest to the Minister of Finance that at least three and possibly six science advisers could be employed for another year if he repaid the money he received as a result of his declarations over 10 years that Dipton is his primary place of residence?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Education has spoken to me often about the priorities and pressures in education, and she has the unfortunate job of cleaning up a mess left by that government.
Trevor Mallard complained that his question had been addressed to the Minister of Education.
Right from the beginning of the answer, when the Minister said that the Minister of Education has spoken to me, he did the entire answer with Minister of Finance and did not answer the question as to whether she approached him on a particular subject.
Mr. English remained the main target when answering on behalf of his Prime Minister this question from Labour's Deputy Leader, Annette King.
Would he expect a minister to stand aside if the Auditor-General announced a formal inquiry into his or her behaviour? And will he require the Minister of Finance to stand down if such an inquiry is instigated against him?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, that is purely hypothetical.
Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Bill English answering that question on behalf of his Prime Minister, John Key. From the Chamber now to one of the committee rooms where, earlier in the day, Rhys Lyon heard submissions on a bill giving police more powers for search and surveillance.
The Justice and Electoral Committee heard a broad range of submissions. One was from the leader of Aotearoa Legalised Cannabis Party, Michael Appleby, claiming that the Search and Surveillance Bill places too much power in the hands of the police.
The change in this is that if somebody rings up and says, I see two people exchanging a cigarette in a car, or I've seen some people next door and they seem to be exchanging a cigarette or a joint or whatever, the police will be able to go there without necessarily smelling the aroma of cannabis. All they have to have is just mere suspicion. Now, an anonymous person will in fact be able to ring up, and the police not necessarily will be required, but if they've got nothing better to do, they can go around and search people without that reasonable excuse. At the moment, the law is that you have to have reasonable cause to arrest a lot of the New Zealanders. With the change to the law, all they have to have is suspicion. We believe that there still has to be reasonable cause, not mere suspicion.
In contrast to that submission was one from the Vice President of the New Zealand Police Association, Chris Cale. He wanted a reduction in the evidence that police had to submit when applying for search warrants.
Search warrant affidavits can actually be tens and up to 100 pages or more long. We would state that we believe evidential sufficiency should be to a level that allows the judicial officer to form an opinion that there is an appropriate grounds for issuing that warrant, rather than have to have every piece of information available. I believe a safeguard to this can be requiring that any information that directly opposes the supporting grounds for a search warrant should also be made available.
However, Professor Jane Kelsey from the University of Auckland said procedures for the issuing of search warrants is already questionable.
With respect to the judiciary when they grant warrants, they're under enormous pressure to grant warrants. And it's a brave judge to throw an application back. My own experience, especially of district court judges, is that they tend to err on the side of the information that is provided to them by the police, with the onus on the defence to rebut that, and if you can't rebut it, then it will proceed.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from New Zealand On Air.